Hello and welcome to the Tickle Up podcast. Today with me, Hamza Yaqub, our digital marketing expert. Hello, Hamza, how are you?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm good. As Hamza, I've seen your portfolio and it's written as PPC ad guru, Facebook meta ads expert, digital marketing expert. So from where you have started your journey and what inspires you to become a digital marketing?
Well, I started off my journey in 2018, so it's been almost 6 years now. As you said, there's something of an inspiration that actually drives you towards this entire domain, this entire field. What happened for me was that I started off with an Amazon based company that was selling products on Amazon. So it was a UK based company, but initially I started off on the content marketing side to sort of learn about, you know, working with a lot of people in this domain who were running PPC campaigns at that time. And mind you, nowadays the PPC campaigns that we're running are actually quite different in the sense that they actually provide a lot of value and a lot of like control over what you're doing. Back then, there was control, there was some kind of like you had that element of you know, running ads on videos, running ads on you know, different kinds of graphics on, especially on Facebook, not that much on Google. We have Google display campaigns as well, but now you can actually integrate AI into the domains and AI can automatically generate even videos for you, images for you, content for you. So that is something that provides you with a lot of like you know, empowers you, and it actually allows you to do more than what we were doing before. So that actually inspired me. In 2019, I started off my digital marketing journey when I ran my first Facebook campaign.
Yeah.
And back then it was like we were selling screen protectors on social media. Yeah. So we were selling screen protectors on Amazon as well. Like Amazon is a complete domain in itself. Yeah, exactly. So you have Amazon, you know, seller board, and then you have Amazon PPC as well. I started off on Facebook and then slowly and gradually moved on to Google by judging based on the conversion rates, etc. I think we'll discuss as we move into this podcast.
Yeah. So in this podcast, we have some discussion points in regards to the digital marketing. Let's start with the hot topic and AI. What you have seen as in AI 20 years back, when there is no AI, that people are making 20 and 30 slides and they just want make a Word document of 50 to 100 pages.
Yeah.
And now we are, with the help of AI, we are doing just 6 slides and boom, that's it. So how what do you think that how AI has a revolution and a game change in this era?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you talk about things other than PPC, things other than the overall programmatic advertising that we're talking about, I think AI has been quite a facilitator. When you talk about, for instance, as you said, now you can use ChatGPT to sort of write documents. Again, it does matter what you're putting into it. So that is something that we have to look into. But it does provide you with that ability to do more in less time. But what I've experienced from my personal endeavors, I've seen that, especially in advertising, what happens is that people actually take it for granted.
Yep.
What happens is that they, you know, ad copies, graphics, and the overall campaign outlook, they leave it entirely on the AI. And I'm not talking about the experts in the field. Obviously, if you're an expert, if I'm someone who has spent a bit of time in the market, and obviously I would not consider it myself to be, you know, I would rate myself very low in the bar because I've seen more people who have, you know, worked in the market for over a decade and they have excelled in this field. But if you have spent a considerable time in the field, you will definitely not rely on AI. You will use AI for some kind of information, some kind of assessment of what you're doing, but you will not solely rely on AI. People who solely rely on AI found that it does not actually work for them, because at the end of the day, it's a machine that is providing you with very generalized sort of content, and then that content you can, and it's very easily detectable as well. Like if you want to detect AI, that's also very easy to do. So I personally think that what a human being can come up with, the creativity of the human being that actually helps in making that ad copy, because at the end of the day you know your audience more than anyone else because you've been doing it for almost like 5 years, 10 years, so you know your audience very well and you know what kind of problems or what kind of pain areas they have that you can actually fill out with your ad copy. So at the end of the day that human touch comes in, and with the right keywords, with the right strategies, because at the end of the day the strategy is yours. The strategy is not AI's. It can help you, facilitate you in making up that strategy.
Yeah.
But you're the one who has to come up with a strategy that actually delivers. And when you come up with that strategy, you have to then curate content according to that strategy, which delivers results as opposed to just a very salesy pitch that seems robotic. So we're human beings. What I've experienced is one thing, we easily feel kind of deceptive sometimes when we see some kind of salesy pitch. So people do, you know, experience that. So the conversion rates actually drop down, and obviously Google can detect that as well. So when Google detects something that is AI and something that is original, that is from a human being, Google's algorithm is very simple. It definitely prioritizes that original content. So that is the authenticity or that actually builds towards the credibility of Google. Because Google, if it starts to sort of facilitate AI, then eventually what happens is that the overall authenticity or credibility of Google is compromised. So Google wants people to be original. Google yeah. wants people to come up with content that is unique.
Yeah.
So for that, I think the human element is very important. And for my experience is that even for ads, for PPC, even on Facebook as well, human beings anyone who is a digital marketing enthusiast should try as much as possible to integrate that human element.
So Hamza, as you have discussed about the Google ads, so what's the difference between the Google ads and the Facebook ads, and what are the tips and tricks and the crux of both of these platforms? Because
sure,
in 2024 they are the most hot popular ad centers.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, so there are a lot of programmatic, it's just not me, I mean it's a proper domain. So what we're talking about basically is programmatic advertising.
Yeah.
So programmatic advertising basically means, and you've come across the term media buying as well,
media
right?
Buying as well,
so
yeah.
This is basically media buying, which is real-time buying of ads, real-time bidding, all right? So what happens is that there are two platforms on Google, Facebook, any other platform you talk about. On one side, there is the demand side platform, and then the other side, there is a supply side platform. What's the demand? The demand is for people who are selling a product, they want a specific placement for their ads. So they want, for instance, Google has a search engine, all right? That search engine, when you type something, if you want, for instance, a screen protector, for instance, you want an iPhone screen protector, you type an iPhone screen protector or online buy iPhone screen protector, and you see the first four results that are shown are ads. So Google actually puts that four positions up for bidding on its demand side platform, which is the Google Ads platform. All right. So those first four placements, and then after that, if you scroll on to the next page, there are other placements as well. Depends upon the highest placement has the highest bidding, the second highest placement has the second highest bidding, and so on and so forth. So that's the search engine side. Then Google actually goes to, and that's the display side I'm talking about. It goes to the websites. It integrates those websites into the platform through a supply side platform. Now, if you have an XYZ website, for instance, and you want your website to be listed in a supply side platform so that people who want to advertise, who want to pay money to you, could come to you, connect with you, and buy your placements on your website and pay you for that, you have to then go to the Google's supply side platform, that is the Google AdSense. All right. So this is how it works on almost all programmatic advertising. Now the difference between Google and Facebook, that's one of the major inspirations or the major aspects why I wanted to shift it from Facebook to Google. because for the first 1 to 2 years I was completely on Facebook, and then I left Facebook and I completely immersed myself into Google because the results were amazing. Because at the end of the day, you want a platform that provides you with that high conversion rate. So I was seeing conversions like above 20%, 30%. With Facebook, it's less than maybe on average, I'm talking about. I mean, some people could get more, some people could get less. But on an average, what I've seen is that people get around 2%, 1.5% conversion rates on Facebook. And that actually, that's why the overall CPC, the overall cost per 1,000 impressions, which is cost per mile, cost per impressions,
CPI,
cost per 1,000 impressions, if you term it as, it's basically called as cost per mile.
Cost per mile.
So that's cost per 1,000 impressions on what Facebook charges you. So that's very less as compared to Google. But what happens is that, for instance, I'll give you an example. For instance, I want to buy a certain type of glasses, all right? Sunglasses, for instance. Now I have the money to buy those glasses and I want to buy them as soon as possible. All right, I'll go to Google, I'll search the brand of the glasses that I want to buy, I'll search the price range or the product and the specific brand, whatever the brand is, and then I'll click search and then I'll get some results. Now the first, second and third, I'll have 3 to 4 options right in the very first instance, all right, and those are ads. All right, so the first bidder has bidded for the first position, second, third, so on and so forth. It's now the importance of ad copy comes in. If someone's ad copy attracts me, or if someone's ad copy is also relevant to what I'm searching for, I'll click on that ad, I'll go to the landing page, I'll buy it. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 actions, events that have occurred. I've completed a journey, and then I went to the website and then I bought it. All right. So that means the intent was very, very high. So the conversion rate increases, and you can make it more specific with the right keywords, with the right targeting, with the right demographics, with the right location. There are a lot of facilities that Google gives you, and the more you go in depth, the more you go in detail with that advertising, with that demographic, with that location, with that keyword, type of keywords as well. Like if you're using general broad match keywords, if you're using phrase match keywords, or if you're using exact match keywords, that's a different strategy altogether. But what happens is that based on your strategy, what you're getting is of much higher quality and much higher value depending on the conversion rates. Now come to Facebook. With Facebook, and again, a lot of these disruptive marketing platforms, is that Google basically does not give you an ad, show you an ad without you searching for it, all right? With Facebook, you're not searching for glasses. For instance, you're someone who basically is in an audience section. So maybe you want a glasses, maybe you don't want to buy a glasses, but according to Facebook, it has certain triggers. So it analyzes your overall behavior. So there are certain signals for that. Based on those signals, it shows you the ad. With Google, you do not see the graphics initially. With Facebook, you can use graphics, you can use a video, you can use different placements, different size of pictures as well. To show that ad to someone, and when someone sees that ad, maybe he has the money to buy it, maybe he does not have the money to buy it.
Yeah.
Maybe he thinks, all right, I mean, this is a good option, I'll check for some others as well. All right, or maybe at the end of the month, like, he doesn't have the money to buy it, maybe at the end of the month he has the money to buy it, and he sort of takes a screenshot of that ad. So the conversion is not instantly, it's not instantaneous. What happens is that after 15 days, 20 days, usually people end up buying it. And a lot of, you know, people actually, you know, they get lost. Or maybe if they fill out a form, if you get a lead generation campaign, so you have to be very quick in sort of calling those people and getting them qualified and maturing those leads. So with Facebook, my experience is, at the end of the day, it's more about your sales team and your marketing team. Your marketing team will get you the leads from Facebook. Those leads would be comparatively in higher quantity, lesser quality, but when you give those leads to the sales team, then in a month or two, it's their job to sort of complete that journey,
and
mature that lead, and then close it.
Yeah.
So that's the main difference between the two.
Hamza, in regards to the ads, like some people say your ad copy must be brilliant. Some people say your keywords must be excellent. There are different tips and tricks to compose a ad. And some people say that your thumbnail must be in a good position, and like in a 5 seconds, they need a hook on that. So what are your tricks to launch an ad?
Well, I mean, there are some things that are very basic. You have to have a good thumbnail. You have to have a design that is very sound in terms of the overall graphic design basics. So those are the basics. You have to have a grip over those. But an important thing that I've experienced is that people should follow some trends.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means that every month we see a lot of different trends being pushed, and people are actually, you know, it actually gets a lot of attraction as well. Nowadays, maybe I don't know if you've seen it or not. So there is this video of a camera. So someone goes into the shop, buys something, he sort of tries to steal something, he starts running after him, and then there's a cut, and then your video comes in where you're running after someone and you start selling something. So there are two separate videos. You've taken a video of someone at a store, or a very normal video of someone falling off a clip, or someone falling onto the bed, or someone, you know, very organically doing something. And what you do is that you cut that video and you make your own video, then make a new video out of it, and then run an ad on that video. So what happens is that on an organic point of view, people like to see these kinds of videos where there are some pranks, where there are people falling off a cliff, where people are actually riding a bike. So that's entertainment, right? So initially people think that it's some random video, entertainment. So they're watching it, because for me personally, and also for a lot of people, when they see something being sold to them, like from a very beginning, they're, you know, put off. So they just scroll down, because they know that is something that is being sold to them, so they're not interested. But when they see that it's something of an entertainment, they go on watching the entire video, and at the end of the video, you see that it's something being sold to you, but from the stories from that video. So this is a trend. All right,
like a GoPro does. GoPro, GoPro made a YouTube channel, a whole YouTube channel, and they allow their customers to upload their videos and share their GoPro experience on that. So Hamza, let's talk about a difference between and inbound marketing and outbound marketing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think inbound marketing, when you talk about different concepts related to inbound marketing, it actually takes a lot of cohesion, a lot of bonding, a lot of, like, you know, what do you call it? I can't remember that word, but I think with inbound marketing, it's basically a team that provides its input through sharing their experiences. With outbound marketing, I've had some experience, but it's not been that successful. So I would definitely prefer inbound marketing.
In regards to the Facebook ad, Hamza, so how, we have already covered that point, how to mature an ad and how to launch an ad. So in regards to the conversion, how much conversion tracking is important in ads?
Yeah, so I think conversion tracking is almost half of the game nowadays. Why do I say that? Because especially when you come to Google, Facebook is also important. Facebook's conversion tracking is actually called Facebook Pixel. So you have to install that pixel, which is a conversion tracking code, into the website, and then the website starts tracking the conversions. With Google, and basically Google has introduced some new automated bidding strategies, all right? Maybe you know about them. A lot of people who start off, and I have these four phases of Google Ads. So again, it is not something that a lot of people use, but based on my experience, I've seen how people start off on Google Ads. They're in phase one, they're in phase two, and they're in phase three, and then eventually they land in phase four. I'll term myself into a transition from phase three to phase four. I see myself in that transition now. So what happens is that initially when they're in phase one, the difference between someone who's in phase one of Google Ads and someone who's in phase four of Google Ads is that the one who is in the phase one does not have control over his campaign.
Yeah. Definitely.
By control, I mean he does not have control over the bidding, the control over the locations, the control over how much budget is spent on what type of keyword at what time in the day.
And what type of conversions, what type of niche,
etc. Yeah, as well. And the intent as well. All right. So some people who are searching for something of something based off an information, like for instance, if someone wants to buy a sprinkler service in the United States, he would search a sprinkler service near me. That is a much more potent keyword as opposed to what kind of sprinkler services are in the United States. So that's just an information based query. So someone who's in phase one cannot filter those searches out. So that's why they're in phase one. But still they're able to provide value. How? Google has made it easy for you to go on Google Ads, pick automated conversion. Like for instance, we have maximized conversions, we have maximized clicks. Those similar automation based bidding strategies. What Google says to you is that we'll provide you conversions, just tell us what the conversions are. All right, how would you tell Google what are the conversions? That's the question. Then Google gives you that conversion tracking access. So Google tells you go to the tag manager. There are other ways as well, but the tag manager is quite easy. So Google tells you go on the tag manager, create your account, create a code, install that code into your landing page or your website, and connect that with the Google Ads account. Once you do that, you have to then decide what kind of conversion trackings you have to install. So some people, what they do is that they fill out a form, and then when someone fills out the form, the conversion tracking is recorded as one conversion when the entire form is completed. So that's counted as one conversion. Other people have, if they want, based on what they want calls. So if someone who is booking for travel vaccines in the UK, they want calls. Forms as well, that's secondary, but they want calls so they can book someone on call and then they could come and administer the vaccine, right? So that specific call button, when someone clicks that signal, Google will pick as a conversion. So that's one conversion. Now what happens is that Google analyzes your conversions. Like Sami, for instance, has told Google that I want the highest number of forms. So maximum forms, Google, you have to bring it to me. So what Google will do is that based on its signals of the entire population that you've selected, the entire demographic, if Google thinks that, for instance, you've placed a budget of £50, all right, as an example, all right, if you placed a budget of £50, so Google will try to consume that £50 and provide you with audiences or with people or like customers or traffic that Google thinks would complete those conversion actions. So Google will show ads to the ones who Google thinks that would fill out this form or will call based on their signals, based on what they've been searching for, based on what they've been saying.
Yeah.
Because that is stored in the signals of Google.
Yep.
Right? So in this phase one, you do not have any control. Whatever is happening and whatever is being charged to you, for instance, like Google, this average CPC is £4, £5, depending upon your niche, right? So Google is charging you £4, £5, and sometimes Google even charges you based on if Google thinks that this person X, Y, and Z is going to come to your landing page and fill out the form based on its signals, it's even going to charge you 3 times more, which means it's going to charge you more than £15.
It's huge.
Yeah, so it's a lot of cost because it's a lot of risk, all right? So Google says that I think this person is a much better, much better contender of filling out the form, so I'll charge you more.
Yeah.
So how do you do that when you're in phase four? Then you tell Google to minimize what you think and do what I think. So what you think is prioritized. But if someone is in phase one, conversion tracking becomes essential. If you've not installed conversion tracking, Google does not know what you want. So it'll give you everything from X, Y, and Z, and you'll be completely frustrated. On the Facebook side, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah. So Hamza, let's side the ads a bit and talk about the SEO. How much SEO is important into the digital marketing and in also in 2024? What is the importance of the SEO?
Yeah, so search engine optimization. I started off working with SEO experts back in 2018-2019. At that time, building backlinks was a very big thing.
Yeah.
So people were, we have to build backlinks, we have to build backlinks, we have to build a guest posting, we have to do, web 2.0s, we have to do a lot of off page, right? So nowadays, I think SEO is important, but because we have on-page SEO, we have off-page SEO, we have our experts who are doing off-page SEO, we have our experts who are doing technical SEO. So at TrickleUp, we have people who are doing multiple types of search engine optimization because it's a big field. And it's very important because it's something that contributes to your organic growth. So at the end of the day, whatever you're doing isn't going to cost you when a person comes in because that's organic, all right? But the overall work required is a lot more. But what I've experienced, like as I told you previously, 3 years back, 4 years back, people were quite obsessed with building backlinks. Now what the Google algorithm has done, because there were a lot of black hat practices, there were a lot of wrong practices associated with it. So Google has shifted the algorithm to focusing mainly on the on-page SEO. So that means you have to correct your own home first. So your own website, it's technical SEO, it's on-page SEO. With on-page SEO, I mean keyword research. With on-page SEO, I mean the overall content quality, the overall relevancy of the content. Everything has to be spot on.
Yeah.
If you have done that, you'll see that you'll start getting results. And those results will be completely organic. So I think that is something very important. In the SEO domain, you have to focus more on what will provide you instant results, and that's on-page SEO. So focusing on the website, focusing on the website content, focusing on the website images. The images should be less than 150 to 200, less than 200 KB. Don't have a lot of images. Try to keep it simple. Try to keep it fast and sleek, and then use good content. So the content to HTML ratio should be very precise, and there should not be errors. So again, we need a proper team that take cares of the technical SEO and the on-page SEO, and that will bring fruit. Yeah.
Hamza, in regards to the disruptive marketing, so there are different kinds of platforms like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter as well. So what platform do you think is the best for influencing marketing and the personal branding as well?
Well, Instagram and TikTok, I think, are the best when it comes to personal branding and also for influencer marketing. What I've seen is that over the past 2 years, TikTok has become a big thing all around the world, not just in Pakistan, in the UK, in the US. TikTok has actually been, quite monumental in personal branding, in influencer marketing, and, building a persona. So I think TikTok, even if you use TikTok ads as well, if you use TikTok organically, it's about posting valuable content consistently. once you do that, you take a schedule, you build a schedule, you'll be quite successful if you have a good product, if you're selling a good service. With Instagram, it's more along the lines of Meta. So what videos you're posting, what stories you're putting in. So again, it has to be consistent. The content has to be good. You have to provide value. You have to provide relevancy. You have to build a story and build a connection with the audience. And once you do that, I think people start to build their own personas on Instagram as well. With Facebook, I don't think it's that much effective.
So, in TickleUp, how we can give output to our clients in regards to the personal branding and how it will impact to their businesses?
Well, one thing that I've seen is that mostly people who are at the top of the line, who are working in businesses, etc., they don't have much time to invest into that. So it's about making it easy for them, right? At TickleUp, what we do is that we have certain systems, we have certain processes where we try our level best to make sure that the person that we're giving the service to has to put in the minimum effort, and still we facilitate through a very 360 degree strategy. So we build content, not just videos, with graphics as well, with carousels, with normal videos, like something of a message, something that we use on a day-to-day basis. And then, for example, if there's a day for a celebration, if there's a day for Christmas. So again, it's about being consistent and providing ease to that person. So I think that's the main important thing. And in order to build that persona, we have to go to a 360-degree strategy. Yeah.
Like if we talk about the Tesla, that Elon Musk come into our minds, and that's it. This is called the proper personal branding. So thank you very much, Hamza, for joining us.
Anytime.
And do subscribe to TickleUp. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.